Thank you. Roll call, please, in there. Thank you. And with that, I'd entertain a motion on the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And it's our great honor to have first on the agenda a presentation regarding the Patriotic Essay Awards presented by Mr. Chuck Ward. I almost said Chuck Scovel, but that's just because he's just been up working at my house. But the other great Chuck in our community, Chuck Ward. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council, distinguished staff. Well, we got the important people here and back. That's what's important. I want to thank you for permitting us the time and your busy schedule, because I know you guys got a lot on your plate. But this is important. A little background. July 2nd last year, we had the dedication of the Your American Heritage Monument here in Atascadero. And as part of that, we kicked off a patriotic essay writing contest as a trial for Atascadero High School. And it went very well. Many of you were there, and you saw our Congresswoman Lois Capps present the first three-place winners with a congressional certificate. We also wrote out some checks. And on balance, it worked out very well. So our committee said, okay, let's do this for more high schools this year. And this included Paso High School, and we had a similar ceremony like this last week at their council meeting. So tonight, it's my honor and a real privilege to introduce some very remarkable people. And the first remarkable person is the past commander of the Military Order of World Wars, who was my right-hand person putting this all together, Dick Hathcock, and Dick is going to read the resolution we worked up for the high school, which will hopefully will forever hang in the halls of Atascadero High School. Dick, come on up.
Is to be dedicated to the education of our American youth regarding citizenship, patriotism, and our flag. The sponsorship of the Patriotic Essay Contest is one of our ways to have MOWW meet our goals for patriotic education. Your American Heritage Monument is well placed in one of the most patriotic cities in the United States, Atascadero, California. We thank you very much for your recognition and support. I'll read the resolution. To whom these presents shall come, greetings. Know ye that General Hoyt S. Vandenberg Chapter of the Military Order of the World Wars and your American Heritage Monument proclaim. Whereas the method chosen to further patriotism in our local community is an annual patriotic essay contest in which the students of Atascadero High School, Atascadero, California, have elected to participate in the Your American Heritage Second Annual Patriotic Essay Contest to express their thoughts on the Founding Fathers creating the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. And whereas the written essays have been read and judged by a selected panel of experts, and they have chosen three students as top contributors, and these three contributors exemplify the best examples the most patriotic essay as judged by the panel of experts as follows. The first place winner, Olivia Andrade. Second place winner, Nathan Nuttall. The third place winner, Michael O'Hara. Be it resolved that the General Hoyt S. Vandenberg Chapter of the Military Order of the World Wars commends all contributors to your American Heritage Monument Patriotic Essay Writing Contest for your efforts in patriotism for the United States of America, signed First Lieutenant Chuck Ward, U.S. Marine Corps, former chairman, your American Heritage Committee.
Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you. I want to thank the Military Order of World Wars for this resolution. I think, as was mentioned, Atascadero is a very patriotic community, steeped in tradition as we just celebrated our centennial last year as we look. So tonight, representing Olivia Andrade, who is doing some missionary work in Costa Rica, is her sister, Hannah Andrade. And then in second place, we have Nathan Nuttall. One more. Congratulations. And in third place, Michael O'Hara. Thank you again.
You might ask, what is the booty they are taking away? Well, number one, they got a very nice resolution from the Military Order of the World Wars. Number two, which is something very few high school students get, they got a congressional certificate from the U.S. Congress, and I think that's wonderful. But more important than that, they got a very nice certificate from you guys, and I want to thank you very much. And what they're going to enjoy most is the check in the envelope that I signed for them. So well done, you guys, and we're going to take a picture right down front here.
So thank you. We'll have our three recipients front and center. We'll have the five council members behind you, and then if we have our distinguished guests here, join us on the flank.
One of those pictures is going to be on our website, and hopefully there's going to be a nice write-up for the Atascadero News right here. Luke, right? Absolutely. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and the City Council.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ward. We appreciate you keeping us on the map in Atascadero for the most patriotic city in the world, and you've certainly contributed a lot. And we do especially thank our recipients coming out this evening. We'll move on to next item on the agenda, which is the consent calendar. We have quite a few items, nine, that are all considered routine in nature. They've been things researched before or discussed before. And if we will approve them all by one motion, unless any member of the public or any council member would like to pull an item for further discussion. Any council member?
Seven and eight.
Number seven and eight. Any member of the public? Seeing none others, I would entertain a motion on the remaining consent calendar items.
So moved.
Second.
And we have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Fonzie. We need public comment on the consent calendar items not polled. Is that correct, Mr. City Attorney, or should we?
Oh, you could ask.
We will give a chance for if there's any public comment on those items we're about to vote on. I didn't see anyone come forward, so we'll go forward with that motion. Roll call, please.
That was Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant made the motion, and Councilmember Fonzie seconded.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Fonzie? Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We'll take up the two items on the consent calendar that were pulled by Councilman Kelly. I'll have Councilman Kelly take the lead on those items, if whatever questions he has, and then we'll open it up to the public on each one and then bring it back for a vote. So first, item number 7, Councilman Kelly.
Thank you, Tom. I don't need a staff report or anything. I just want to make some personal comments on this. I've had some difficulty with this because one of my standpoints was no taxes or no new fees. Tax, there's the quest to bond. The state and feds are going to get us. There was an article in the Tribune about a hidden gas tax at another 15% in our consent calendar. In the sewer report, we're talking about raising the sewer fees. The water fees are going up. Everything is going up, and I'm having a very hard time supporting this. I hope that between now and then that the city council can come up with some type of paperwork or pledge between us that this money will be spent on the roads. And I think Mrs. Marino made a great statement 2 weeks ago. We're not here to vote on it. We're here to give you the opportunity to vote on it. So I will go ahead and support this tonight, but I do have some apprehensions, and I hope that we can do some education, not only for us, but for the city. I think we need to guarantee that this money is going to go to the roads, and we need to gain the confidence of the people. And that's just the statement that I wanted to make on that, and I'll go ahead unless there's public comment or anything else to make an motion to approve it.
So yes. Let's go ahead first and see if there's other council comments. We can get into some deliberation later. Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, I'm Jerry Clay, 7285 Sycamore Road, Mayor and Council. Other vital city needs should be removed. It may not mean much to you, but this is a 12-year project, so to speak, and another council, another interpretation, and other pressure to do other things, you know, other than the roads will definitely come about. Those words should be removed. And I do think you should take a pledge as a council that to the best of your ability that all this money will go for roads. Other vital city needs should not be in there. That just covers anything and everything, and you should take it out.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak on item 7? I'll close public comment, bring it back to council. I will ask our city attorney to maybe give an abbreviated report. Councilman Clay, former Councilman Clay, I wasn't at our last meeting where this was discussed in quite a bit of depth, but there were some reasons you felt that the wording needed to be as it was. So I think we should have that discussion again. And then I think also repeat that the council, many of us have spoken in many settings and made that firm pledge, but I think we...
I'll be glad to do that. I would mention initially, when you look in your packet, at page 206, that's where the advisory measure, which is E14, is found. And the advisory measure reads, if the voters of the city of Atascadero approve a 1/2 cent limited term general sales tax increase, should the additional revenues be used for the purpose of repairing and maintaining neighborhood roads and other roadways? So that advisory measure does not have language in it other than what I just read. The advisory measure does give the council the message from the voters as to how they wish for this money to be spent. So there is that measure to give you that information. However, the measure F14 does, as Councilmember Kelly pointed out, have the words referring to the repair of the roads and aging roadways, along with other city vital needs. And as I explained at the last council meeting, the reason those additional words, along with other city vital needs, was added based on my recommendation was this. Under the law, if there's a special tax, meaning that it is dedicated to a particular purpose, a specific purpose, then that requires a vote of the people of two-thirds, 66 2/3% of the voters. Whereas a general tax, which is not limited to a specific purpose, requires a majority, 50% plus one. My concern was, at the time and still is, that without the words, along with other city, other vital city needs, that it might be argued by someone who would try to challenge, if this measure is passed, it could be argued by someone who would seek to challenge that tax at a future date, that if what you said in the measure didn't include other vital city needs, and it just mentioned roads, that it was a special tax, and since hypothetically, let's say the vote was 57% in favor, that they would say you didn't get your two-thirds, so therefore your tax is not valid. That's my concern. And if you recall, I also, and I won't go through the detail again, but every other city that has passed a similar measure indicated to the council, and then the council, this one or a future one, should ignore that advisory vote and choose to spend this money on things other than the roads. There's always the remedy that the voters have to express their disappointment with council members who vote inconsistent with their will. So I think that is the reason why the law exists for advisory votes, to let the council members know what the public wants that money to be spent on.
Thank you. I'm not inclined to reopen public comment. This is the second evening we've had discussion of this item. Is there council consensus to reopen public comment?
I should tell you that the law requires you to allow public comment since it is an agenda item.
We did have a public comment that I opened up as where we heard from Councilman Clay. We closed that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You responded to the public comment. And now I'll check with council to see if you want to reopen public comment. So there's consensus to open up for a second time for remaining comments.
Thank you, council. I appreciate that. See, I just don't agree. Other vital city needs, it just opens it up. You know yourself, human nature. You get down the road, somebody starts pressuring you for parks or water for the lake or anything, and you folks are not going to be there, and they're not going to remember all this that we went through. And I don't think anybody's going to challenge it. And the advisory committee doesn't have any power at all. They're just an advisory committee, and basically the city council can do what they want. Get those few words out of there. It was my understanding they were put in at the last minute anyway. So get those words out of there and let people know that this is going to be for the roads and things associated with roads. It shouldn't be in there, period.
Thank you. Does any other member of the public wish to speak on this consent calendar item? Seeing none, approach will close public comment, bring it back to council. Now we'll hear from council members. Please use the lights. And we have Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilman Fonzie.
Just a question for the city attorney. Is there any problem with the current city council making a pledge that somehow this money, or which relates to a third of the sales tax income, will be used primarily for roads?
My recommendation would be that you not make that type of pledge for the reason I just expressed, which is that if you do that, then an argument could be made. I can't be coming from the voters to the council.
During the budget process, is there any prohibition of directing that amount of money into the road repair fund?
No. I mean, once the measure passes and you have the ability to spend it on the purposes that are specified in the measure, you can certainly then budget the funds consistent with those purposes. And if you choose to spend the money on roads, you can put that into your budget and it would become a budgeted item.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Councilman Fonzi.
Thank you. We struggled with this issue at our last meeting. It's a tough one. And I understand your concern, Mr. Clay, regarding this, and it's not the intent of this council, I know that you know that, to spend this on anything except the roads. That's why we put something in here in the Measure F-14 that says there would be citizen committee oversight. These wouldn't be a committee that's appointed by the council. They would actually be citizen groups that would come. And then we also added published annual reporting and independent financial audits. This is about as far as we can go legally to protect the public on this one. And if a future city council doesn't put it into roads, I would hope the public rises up with that audit in hand on the advice of that advisory committee and votes them out.
Thank you. Seeing no other council request to speak, I will check in with the city attorney. I don't think there's any reason along the lines of where Councilman Kelly was going. We could not tonight's request that if this item passes, that at the next council meeting or soon thereafter it's placed on the agenda, that we take action with directing those future funds. So it could be very clear where the council stands early on. Could we do something to that effect? It's not a pre-commitment what we might do, but we are pre-committing that we will publicly go through that process after the election.
Well, as I indicated, I don't believe the council...
Still a no-go,
You're talking about after the election.
Yes.
Well, my recommendation, I believe Councilmember Kelly had a good thought there, was as part of the budget process would be your best opportunity to make that decision.
I'll go with that.
I feel very satisfied that we've done all we can.
Very good.
We put it in the proper pot.
Councilman Kelly,
Roll call?
Yes, thank you.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to Consent Calendar Item 8, Solid Waste Collection Contract and Recycling Green Waste Contract. Councilman Kelly?
Yes, my only problem there is I've gotten all sorts of feedback from a lot of people in the city that thought it should have gone out to competitive bidding, which I think it should have. In order, competition is good in order to guarantee that we did get the best deal, not only for the city, but for the citizens. I have nothing against our current garbage collectors. I think they do a real good job and what have you, but I just think it's a good business practice to have competitive bidding. So that's why I don't agree with item number 8.
Thank you. Is any other council member wishing to make a comment? At this time, seeing none, I'll open it up to the public.
It's old Gary again. Here I am, 7285 Sycamore Road. Believe it or not, in the past, why we've had 3-2 votes that were brought back the second time and changed and went with the no votes, 5-0. I just think that the council is here to get the citizens of Atascadero the best deal. And competitive bid, in my opinion, is the best way to do this. And I guess we have 3 competitors. I think that you ought to reconsider. The vote was 3-2. One of your changes, we put it out to bid. IWMA may get the deal anyway, but I will guarantee you, if you put it out to bid, the citizens of Atascadero, the business people of Atascadero, will get a better deal. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
You can change.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Because it's my intention not to open up public comment again on this item. Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council. I would say that, again, this was an item discussed at quite a lengthy time, several times. I spent a lot of time speaking about what I felt were the economic issues on this topic, and I would encourage anyone that had a thought or question on that to review the tape on that. I stand by my conclusions. And again, it was mentioned about IWMA, Integrated Waste.
You know, certainly going out to bid can be useful, can be helpful. I think in this situation, we again discussed this at great length. And I am quite excited for our business customers that starting September 1st, they're going to have reduced rates. So if we were to actually go out to bid, our commercial customers would be paying the current rates, which over a 16-month period would be about another $300,000 over a 16-month period. I am not willing to say, hey, we're going to do that in the hopes that we might get a better deal. And the one unsolicited bid that we did receive, those rates were higher than what AWA came in with. So, again, we did discuss this at length, and I am still willing to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Kelly and I were the two that voted against this. We wanted this to go out to bid. My reasons are still the same. I would still like it to go out to bid, although I'm not dissatisfied with the bid that we received from Waste Alternatives. I think they did very well on the residential end. My hope was that they could come in lower on the commercial end, where it was still higher than some of the neighboring locales. So it would be my preference that it goes out to bid.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And as we did discuss, the meeting was quite extensive that we did talk about this. And this is a very good deal for Atascadero, for business, for residential, for the city. There's going to be savings as well because of the expanded scope of work. And also, this is a very shortened time period because there's a lot of regulation coming down. So this is a very good deal for the parameters that we have, and it's very good for the city. And I feel that we should move forward with it.
Thank you. Seeing no other council discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move approval on item number 8.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilman Moreno, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
No.
Councilmember Kelly?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
3-2, motion passes.
Thank you. We'll now move on to updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. We have a lot of good news items here, and I'll just wait for David to bring up the PowerPoint. A lot of summertime events. We're nearly approaching the halfway mark of our summer season, and we still have lots of fun and exciting events coming up for everyone to enjoy. The Ice Cream Zoo-Fari will be at the Charles Paddock Zoo on Saturday, July. In August, we have our annual Hot El Camino Cruise Night, which is also a very popular event that brings lots of folks to town to see the really cool classic cars cruising down El Camino. Cruise Night will be held on August 15th and begins at 6:30. Again, a wonderful summer evening, great for the whole family. Lots of guests from out of town that also enjoy it, and we love that event. We also have the ever-popular Tuesday Evenings in the Park with a fabulous Elks Club barbecue beef and chicken dinners available for sale to benefit various local nonprofit organizations each week. We also have music at that event and other things. Great, great thing. The Saturdays in the Park Summer Concert Series continues each Saturday evening beginning at 6:30 at the Atascadero Lake Park Bandstand, which features very popular local bands that always get the crowds up on their feet. And then we have Movies in the Gardens, which will be held on Saturday evenings beginning August 2nd, with popular family-oriented movies shown on the big screen right here in the Sunken Gardens, and those begin around 8 p.m. when it starts to get dark. And so as you can see, there are a lot of fun things for everyone to get out and do this summer in Atascadero. There's nothing better than an Atascadero summer night, and all of our events are designed to take care of that. Promotions, visioning, and strategic planning update. Each of the council members, as well as key community representatives from the Chamber of Commerce, the hotel group, business stakeholders, and Atascadero Main Street, met here recently with the two principals of the Caraggio Group. They're a professional consulting firm we've hired to help develop a clear direction and visioning plan for the city's marketing and promotional efforts. Over the course of their two-day stay, Craig Trames and Matthew Landeker of Caraggio conducted in-depth interviews and gathered everyone's ideas, plans, and goals for Atascadero's promotion. The interviews will help them identify patterns in the thinking of stakeholders, both for and against different ideas. They will take that information to develop a full-day visioning workshop designed to move the city toward alignment. That workshop is currently scheduled to be held here with the council members on Friday, August 29th. It'll be an all-day workshop. We're hoping to get members of the community, stakeholders, city council all together to develop a cohesive vision. And the historic City Hall outdoor lighting project. As you all know, the City Hall Restoration project has gone through many phases over the year. One of the final phases remaining to complete is the exterior showcase lighting enhancements. These enhancements will showcase the building's historic external features and will make the building more visible to community. Phase one of the enhancement is being funded in part by a joyful event we had this last weekend that was co-chaired by Councilmember Kelly and Jerry Clay, and I'll have Councilmember Kelly tell us how the 4th of July event went.
Thank you, Rochelle. Well, I think our 4th of July this year came out to be a huge success. It was a fun day in the lake park, and we have a little picture show to go on here. As you know, our zoo was open free to the public thanks to Kacho Hashashian, who made a donation for that. We had 1,593 people go through the zoo. This is the warm-up here before the fun run. Early in the morning, that's the best picture I could get. Sorry. And there's, I want to thank Dave May for making our signs up for us that we had in the park and throughout the city. They were very informative. And this is the folks getting ready in the morning, I believe, for the pancake feed for the participants in the fun run. And it was a free pancakes for the kids. Andy McBean and his famous carousel. Andy started it up at 7:30 and never turned it off. Don Collier from the Elks Club, Joe's Little Train, they had 300 people. There's Mark Russo, who was just an incredible help to us. There's Jerry and I trying to survive the day. We're getting a little old for this. I want to thank Don Krause and Brian Studervent for the sound system and doing the talking through the day. And his wife, Karen, and Heather Marino for putting on the kids' games there. They were all a big, big success. These were some of the food booths that they had. All of the vendors were very, very happy with the participation they got. There's a happy couple walking through the park. And there's the county band that came and played. And when they got done, they said, can we come next year? There's one of the big hits of the day, the water slide. Usually there was about 10 kids. The little girl there got lost for a few minutes, but we found her. Everybody was happy. There's the big tug of war that we have every year, and Mark Russo egging them on. Here's the pie contest that Jerry put together. World famous pie contest. There's another participant. Those are the three winners. These were some of the folks going in and enjoying the zoo for the day. There's a karate there. The kids were breaking the boards there. And there's the biggest. This one. Rochelle was the biggest sport of the day. She was standing next to me, and Jerry said, we need one more person. I says, come on, Rochelle. She said, you go. I said, no, I'm taking pictures. She got in there, and I just want to thank Rochelle. The banners that you saw through town and the signs that he painted up, we want to thank the city for cooperating with us. The chamber helped us out a little bit, and it kind of revitalized Jerry and I, and we will be planning again for next year. I think we brought probably close to 2,000 people to our town that enjoyed our lake park. And everybody said they had a very good time, and I think hopefully next year we'll have some water in the park and we can either make this thing bigger. So look forward to it, and we just want to thank everybody that helped us. I hope I didn't leave anybody out, and looking forward to seeing you next year. Jerry?
Thank you.
Do you mind if I say a couple words?
Well, we are going into community forum. Why don't we just go ahead with that, and if we could. And
Well,
let me go ahead and formally open. We are now beginning our community forum portion because I assume our city manager is finished with her report. Welcome.
Okay, we had opening ceremonies at 7:30, and Chuck Ward did a beautiful job of giving us some history on the birth of our country, and it was a great event. Tom Farrell did the invocation. Bonnie.
Scott.
See, Bob and I, the two of us make one good man. I just want to tell you that.
Okay? I'm the right side of the brain, and he's the left side of the brain.
Bonnie Scott sang, and, you know, we only had about 25 or 30 people there, but next year we're going to have a big opening ceremony. There's a lot of people in the park, and they didn't realize what was going on. But it was just a wonderful day. And we had ladies come up to me. One lady said that she lost her job. She had three kids. And she said, this was just perfect. She said, I didn't have to spend any money. And my kids had a great day. The pony rides were there. The girls from down south. came, and gosh, I can tell you, it was great. It was great. So we're going to do it again, Bob, right?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
City Mayor and Council, I'm Pastor Tom Farrell from Atascadero Bible Church, and here kind of representing the Ministerial Association. And again, the event was great. Thanks to Bob and Jerry, just for your care. I love being in a community like this, you know, to be able to have those students get those awards, you know, on their essays on patriotism and the history that Mr. Ward presented was amazing. Really great job. And just appreciate so much being a part of a town like this and having an asset like the Lake Park population has. And so, Lord, I just ask, you say in the word that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. And so, Lord, we just ask on behalf even of our city council that you would give them wisdom generously. And, God, that they would be able to make decisions, Lord, that would really be in the best interest of this amazing community that we call home. And, Lord, of course, I always like to pray for those who are public servants who are out protecting us, our police, fire, our city workers, those who are working to improve our infrastructure as well as streets and those other people that are out every day working hard to serve this community. And I just, Lord, pray for their safety, their protection, and I pray a blessing upon them and their families. And we're grateful for them. And so, Lord, we just thank you so much for this place that we call home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Let's scoot ahead of you. Good evening. I'm Kendall Flint. I'm the task manager for the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments outreach program for the U.S. 101 Mobility Study. And I'm here tonight just to remind everyone how very exciting it is that tomorrow is our last open house meeting. It's going to be held in San Luis Obispo at the Veterans Hall. It'll be between 5 and 7:30 at 801 Grand Street. Or Grand Avenue. If you can't make the meeting, there's information about the project available on our website, which is slowcogconnectingcommunities.com. We had our last TAC meeting today, and Rochelle was there actually enjoying a really exciting day with us and really lobbying on behalf of the city of Atascadero. So there are a number of projects that will affect residents in this area as well as all along the U.S. 101 corridor. So I encourage everyone that can to take a moment to look and see what we're proposing in the plan. And we'll be able to take comments on that and hopefully get that plan before the board of directors in the coming months for adoption so we can start seeing those improvements coming to the entire area. That was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Second time around. Yes. Welcome.
Well, this will only take a minute. Hey, I just want to personally thank Rochelle for being a good sport. You know, I stood there and I said, look, we got one more pie and we're not going to start till somebody sits down. And here she comes. Now, she was a little dainty with that pie, I'll have to say. You know, she didn't really get her face in it, but thanks a lot, Rochelle, for being a good sport. That was great. And also I'd like to thank Gail Cudillac. She's just a great person. She's a very good organizer, and she kept Bob and I straight. So anyway, we had a great day, and we're going to do it again. It's going to be bigger and better. And someday we'll have fireworks.
Welcome. Next speaker.
Greetings, Mayor, Council members, city staff. My name is Kevin Campion. I'm a partner of the City of Atascadero. I'm representing A Town Park, 5493 Traffic Way. And I thought it was appropriate to come tonight and give Council an update of things happening at A Town Park. As you know, we have a 10,000 square foot steel building. Is that me? A joke, 20, 30 degrees. Cooler than it is outside, and that's without the walls being done. And coming here tonight, I did not know if I was going to be able to share with you the true status of what's going on, but I received a text message of affirmation as I was literally sitting down for the meeting tonight that ABC Church has agreed to bridge the gap and come alongside us in our fundraising efforts to complete the project. So Aaron Mills from Mills Construction has been working closely with the city on the project and was in just a couple days ago, and we're scheduled in the next 2 weeks to complete the blanketing of A-Town Park. So I'm thrilled because I've been in there 7 years, and I'd love to put on a couple pounds. maybe finally I'll be able to. It gets warm in there. But a couple of the things that are happening, and I think it's important for the community to be aware of, is for the first time ever, A-Town Park is representing the city of Atascadero and bringing our community to the Mid-State Fair. We have been invited and have become an official part of the roster for the Mid-State Fair this year, and A-Town Park will actually be building and hosting a park on the main street at Mid-State Fair, doing 10 shows over the 2 weeks. It's a really exciting opportunity for us that we're not taking lightly. We're, you know, building some new structures, and we're bringing in 12 young guests, talent, each day that will perform at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and the dates will be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st at 1 and 3 o'clock, and then the following weekend, which is the 26th and 27th, also at 1 and 3 o'clock. So we're doing 10 shows over 5 days, so both weekends of the Mid-State Fair. Atascadero will be flying its A-Town colors and hosting at Mid-State Fair. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we also appreciate all you've done in our community. And, you know, let us know when you want to do a presentation. We can make it a little longer. And I would recommend that we get some good pictures of this activity at the fair and some pictures of the finished product there, and schedule with our city manager to at least be part of our city manager report, or if you'd like to do a 10-minute...
Be here and be part of the August 29th staff event, where you're talking about bringing more to the city of Atascadero as far as tourism, because that's what I'm all about. I just signed a lease at 5863 Traffic Way and bought a store up on the north side of town and bringing it to the downtown, not because I need more stuff to do, but because I really believe in this community and I want to see us collectively enjoy more of a downtown. And I'm excited that now two blocks from A-Town Park, I'm also going to be doing some retail. And I'm optimistic that we're going to have a good time there. But in any case, keep me in mind for August 29th. I would love to participate. I mean, this is the brand right here on this hat. You're all familiar with it by now. That stands for Atascadero. And it's been something that's been part of A-Town Park now for 7 years that I've been involved. And it has worldwide recognition, I say with modesty. But it does. People know it everywhere now. So we are doing our part to bring tourism to Atascadero. I had Bakersfield and Fresno in the house today. People come from all over. So it's not to be taken lightly, the contribution that A-Town Park's bringing, with all respect. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll give you some round of applause. And be sure to bring hats for all the council members. They will have a check for you for the price when you come back. Thank you.
You know, Tom, I was going to bring that up about you coming to our meeting, because Kevin's my neighbor, and I have gone down on occasion to some of the events that he does have down at the skate park, and he's right. People do come from all over, and I think we need to help him. I think that's our goal, is to bring more and more
people. Well, we'll have that discussion.
Down, and I hope that our new group will help you out, and I look forward to you coming there.
Well, we'll have it on the agenda now. Coming up, we can have more time. I believe that concludes our community forum. We'll move on to the next agenda item, public hearing B1, placement of sewer service charges on the 2014-2015 property tax rolls. A staff report by Mr. David Athey.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. David Athey from Public Works. Tonight we have a recommendation that Council adopt the draft resolution placing sewer service charges on the 2014-2015 property tax rolls. Now, the public hearing is to receive objections to the placement of...
Just add, of course, it's too bad we don't have Mr. Black here, because he is so excited about talking about the sewer plant. We have a staff that does a phenomenal job out there. And something that impressed me is we actually have, I believe, the lowest cost wastewater treatment plant in the county by design and by the work of our staff out there. Could you comment on our cost effectiveness?
Absolutely. The Public Works Department always strives to reduce costs where we can. It's my understanding we have one of or the lowest monthly sewer fee for residential units in the county. So we really do strive to give the citizens the best bang for their buck.
Thank you. Other council questions? I open up to the public. Any member of the public wishing to question or comment? Seeing none approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for motion.
I'll move that council adopt the draft resolution placing sewer service charges on the 2014-2015 property tax rolls.
Second.
A motion by Councilman Moreno, seconded by Councilman Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item, management report, C1, Memorandums of Understanding for the Atascadero Police Officers Association, Mid-Management Professional Employees Association, Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, Local 620, and Resolution for Non-Represented Professional and Management Workers and Confidential Employees.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. That's a mouthful. The item you have before you tonight is actually to approve the memorandums of understandings, or basically a labor contract with three out of the four bargaining groups, and also to approve a resolution for non-representative employees. So we have four bargaining groups, one non-represented employee group, which is for management and confidential, and then we have part-timers. So tonight we'll be doing approving MOUs for three of the four bargaining groups, approving resolution for non-representative employees, approving a salary schedule reflecting those changes, and updating PERS resolutions as employees will be increasing their contributions to PERS. The four bargaining groups are SEIU, Service Employees, and the Mid-Management Professional Employees Association. For that. And along with those, we have the non-representative, which again are the confidential and the management. Those that have a part of bargaining for the city are non-represented. Basically, they get there. All of the agreements expire on June 30th, 2014. So at this point, all of the current agreements have expired. We're still living under those agreements at this time. Overall, the city is basically a service entity. That is what we do. We provide police service, fire service, park service, other types of service. So we have 117 full-time employees. That sounds a lot, but just to give you some perspective, in 2008 we had about 135, so we're still down quite a bit. And that's about 4.1 full-time employees per 1,000. We do very well stretching a dollar. And getting the most out of it. If you compare that to some of our neighbors and certainly what we were, we are a very lean machine and do well. Our employee costs are about $12.7 million out of the general fund budget of $17.5 million, and that represents about 72.5% of general fund expenses. For a city of our funding, that's right in the ballpark of where we should be. Again, if you think about what it is that we do, we're taking care of the streets. That takes people. We're providing police service, that takes police officers, fire service, so that's where we are. So with the agreements, what are in the agreements? All of the agreements before you have two-year terms. They go from July 1st, 2014 through June 30th, 2016. All of the agreements have the major changes or the bulk of the cost in year one, with 0% and only some minor changes, some increased life insurance benefits or other benefits in year two. So basically they're front-loaded, but they are two-year agreements. For the police association, the agreement was for them to increase the employee contribution to PERS so that employees are now paying the full employee contribution to PERS. The city had been historically picking up a portion of the city's of the employees' portion. Now they will be paying their own. So for sworn officers, they will be paying 4.3% more than they have been which will bring them up to 9%. For non-sworn officers or non-sworn employees, dispatchers, we'll be looking at a 3.3% increase that they will be paying 3.3% of their salary more.
System, but that is the, could you describe a little bit about the retirement system and how that works? It's been a concern in the community statewide, and how are we responding to those concerns?
Many public entities throughout the state are members of what's called CalPERS, California Public Employees Retirement System. It is a defined benefit system, which basically, rather than saying how much the city is going to contribute into a 401k every year, it instead says how much benefit each employee gets. There is an employer portion, a portion that the city by statute is supposed to pay, and an employee portion, which is a portion that PERS for many entities, the employees pay. Over time, different entities have bargained that, hey, we'll pick up the employee portion of PERS, and the city of Atascadero is one. I'm not sure how long ago we did that, but that I know when I started here in 1997, 18 years ago, or 17 years ago, that the city was picking up 100% of the employee portion of PERS. Over the years, especially in the downturn, we did negotiate with the employees for them to pick up a larger percentage or start picking up a portion of their PERS. For the police officers, this will bring them up to 100% of the employee portion.
Thank you.
Sure. There is an increased life insurance benefit in 2015-16, but again, there's no COLA, no PERS exchange, no anything like that. For all of the other units, we're looking at a 1.5% COLA in year one and a 0% COLA or no employee COLA in year two. There will be some increased life insurance benefits in 2015-16 for some of the units. They have negotiated they'd like to switch holidays. Right now, the city is closed and the employees have a holiday for both Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday. They'd like to just change that to one holiday of President's Day and take off Christmas Eve also. Christmas Eve is historically a very quiet day here at the city. We don't have a lot of people wanting to do business on Christmas Eve, so that worked well for the city and for the employee groups. There are some other minor cost items, such as small blue allowance increases and that, but that is the what is provided in these. These agreements are really a very solid compromise. Both the employees and the city came together. The city recognizes the need to retain and as much as some of our neighbors. We get to work in Atascadero, and it's a pretty darn special place to work, and we get to work with a great group of people, have a good council and a good management team, and we appreciate that. So I think this is a great compromise, and I'm proud to be a part of both sides. Here are just a couple of the faces. We've done this in the past, and so who are these employees that we're talking about? For SEIU Local 620, these are the guys that you see out there every day, our zookeepers, Darren, Jeff. You start looking at everybody and the work they do every single day, day in and day out. Again, these are still all SEIU 620s. David back there, he's running our computer. He's part of SEIU. Ellen, Annette, our fire department, even though we're not with them, we don't have agreement with them tonight, we need to recognize the hard work that they do day in and day out. With Tom and Scott and Matt and the other Tom, our police department. Some great pictures there. They're cute. So we have mid-management professional staff, Bob and Justin, Jennifer Fanning, and Paula Anton. Management confidential. That's a lot of this group here that you see every night, in addition to Alan, David Athey, some of our finance people, Joe Allen. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank our employees for everything they do every single day and appreciate them. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Council questions. Go ahead, Councilman Fonzie. You no questions, right? Well, before we open up to the public, I will just speak on behalf of all of the council. We do recognize our employees do a phenomenal job. It disappoints me now and then in the community when someone kind of makes one of the service organization. We need good people. And it pains us that we can't do more because we know how hard our employees are working. And it's not just an opinion. We've seen charts and graphs here. I especially love bragging about our planning department. We're literally processing more permits than any other city, not by a few, but by a mega number. And then you divide that by staff, the number of output of work we're doing per staff member is tremendous. We're talking more than three cities put together. That's phenomenal, and I'm very proud of the employees we have and appreciate what they've done. We've made business improvement in our community number one, because like I say, everything I want to do costs money. So our council is focusing on how do we improve economic development. We want to do better there. That's really our job, and we've kind of held the lines and talking to our employees, you know, we're in this together. We want to share with everyone our successes, and we hope they come soon in the future and more. But it's we've all sacrificed, and just on behalf of the council, we want to make sure the employees know we know that they care about our town like we do and have really done a lot. And so with that, I'm going to open it up to the public if there's any public comment on these agreements and memorandums we're about to go into. Seeing no one rushing forward, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council, and I'd entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we approve the agenda item as presented for item number C1.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Councilman Kelly, seconded by Councilman Fonzie. Further discussion. Councilman Moreno.
There was a typo on page 326. Can we just move to correct that? City manager, I think, knows the one I'm...
We'll just accept that correction.
Any typos,
yes.
Minimal corrections.
Any
like
typos
that
or minimal corrections will get there and fix.
Very
and
good.
That's good
that
with
can,
the maker
can,
and the
that
second.
That can be added.
Okay. Yes. We'll give the city manager discretion if there's minor corrections. That won't include like a $50,000 raise for the police chief, even though it could be well deserved.
Let's leave it to typos.
Okay, just typos. Thank you.
Sorry, Gerald.
We have a motion on the floor. I'll ask for a roll call.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
We'll leave it to the camping ordinance. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for an opportunity for us to report back to you on this ordinance and... Hang on. We're going to make this electronic thing work. That was my fault, not David's. Even though I looked at him, I apologize.
Well, there goes your raise right there.
Right there. Definitely not worth it. We're reporting back to you on an ordinance. As you'll recall, this was an existing ordinance that was enacted many years ago in the city of Atascadero, but in the form that it was in, was deemed unenforceable by the San Luis Obispo County Courts. And so the police department came to council at the end of 2013, in both November and December of 2013, asking council to amend the ordinance, make it a little bit different in wording and format, so that we could proceed with enforcement of our camping ban in the city. Right around the same time, we were looking at kind of redesigning and redeveloping how we handled the Echo Shelter system. And you'll recall that we passed and approved the permanent status of Echo as our homeless shelter right around that same time. And the police department did coordinate our efforts and the camping enforcement muni code change to coincide with that so that people had an alternative, a viable alternative to go and find a place to stay overnight rather than engaging in illegal camping activities. When we passed this report, the council did request that the police department report back to you in 6 months, let you know how we were doing, how the amendment had gone. And so that's what we are doing tonight, is reporting back to council and letting you know what's happened since you passed this ordinance and whether it's working. And we'll also include, in addition to the camping ordinance, a brief report on the amendment to the smoking ban kind of right at the end. Just as a reminder, we requested the alteration to the Muni Code because of a number of complaints that had come in to the city, both to staff and to council itself, about issues around illegal camping. Many of them you see listed here, things like littering, public urination and defecation, trespassing crimes that we were responding to, different types of aggressive solicitation, and then several instances in which we responded to pretty significant fights in public occurring at some of these campsites in town. Most of the individuals that we were coming into contact with had either shown us that they had been reluctant to use the shelter system, or there was no real clear section to identify the activities that they were involved in as illegal, and yet we were receiving almost daily complaints on those activities, and we're looking for an alternative of enforcement in that area. One of the provisions that the council was notified about, and one of the things that our city attorney helped us with, was in order to make the municipal code enforceable, we wanted a provision that said that we wouldn't just go, you know, find somebody who happened to, you know, pull off the roadway because they were tired and just tried to get a couple hours of sleep so that they weren't a hazard on the roadway, and all of a sudden they found that they were subject to enforcement under this code. And so the council, as they passed the ordinance, put in a provision, or went with our recommendation of a provision that a warning be issued before the ordinance be enforced, before enforcement action was taken by the officers. And our department has taken that very seriously. One of the first things we did was to create this handout. I think some of you have seen it. It's a small trifold handout that we gave to individuals that we came into contact with. And the handout had information about the city, had information about what shelter and other help services were available, not only in Atascadero, but in the areas surrounding us. And so we've been very good about handing those out. The self-printed ones. We've also worked with Councilman Kelly. He's put us in touch with a group that has an additional handout that we are now working to put in the hands of people who we find sleeping, camping out, engaged in the activities that are deemed illegal by the ordinance, and we make sure that we provide them with an alternative. Echo is not by far the only alternative. I think it's one of the best. I think we can kind of boast about the performance of the Echo shelter system, not only in North County, but throughout our entire county. And so the purpose and design of this trifold handout was to make sure that people were aware of what services were available to them. As you'll recall, in addition to this warning that was enacted, we left in a provision that allowed law enforcement to undertake this enforcement either as an infraction or a misdemeanor. Those individuals who we came into contact with, who it was maybe their first offense since being warned, they hadn't typically been involved in this type of activity before, we had the option of issuing them an infraction citation and handling it through our local infraction system. We also have the ability, though, with some of our individuals, and I'll that we have undertaken that as both the infraction version and the misdemeanor version of the enforcement. I wanted to share a little bit with you about what you're going to see in some of our following slides, where I talk about the type of enforcement and the location of enforcement that we're undertaking, and then give you just a little bit of an idea as a council how many calls we respond to as a police department in the last 6 months specifically related to camping. And it can be very difficult to identify exact numbers for you, and I want to make that clear. The numbers I'm going to give you are approximate numbers. The reason is because these types of calls can come to our department in any number of different ways. There might be a neighbor who is concerned about somebody in their neighborhood, and so they call in the report of a suspicious subject. And we go out and we contact the individual and find out that they're actually in violation of a camping ordinance or a trespassing violation, and we ask them to move along, but that call would show up in our system as a suspicious subject, as opposed to a violator that is responsible for a violation of the camping ordinance. And so any number of the different kinds of calls that we might be getting are related to loitering, trespassing, suspicious subjects, and not camping alone. The numbers that I'm going to provide you tonight are strictly related to camping and then the two primary violations that we enforce with camping. In addition to the Muni Code, Penal Code Section 647, subsection E, is another section that our department uses to deal with camping violators who are on property that is not open to the general public. It is a more applicable section for those particular offenses. For instance, the library has recently moved, and the former library location immediately became a hotspot of activity for individuals looking to spend the night. And that is certainly a building that people don't have access to. They're not supposed to have access to. And so in that case where we contact an individual sleeping on that property, the more appropriate section would be the 647 subsection E section of the Penal Code rather than our Muni Code. Another benefit to that is with our Muni Code, the city attorney is the one who is tasked with undertaking the prosecution of that offense. There's a timing issue involved, making sure that he's here and available to assist in that prosecution in our courts. It is easier to cite in some instances for the Penal Code section because for infractions and seven were issued as misdemeanors, two of them in infractions. So you can see that there is a little bit of each going on, although the majority of the ones that we've issued have been misdemeanors, and the city attorney did undertake the prosecution of those on our behalf. Who's being cited under this section, or who's being cited for camping in the first place? Obviously, one of the first things we find is that most of these individuals are repeat offenders, people who we've contacted previously, either for camping or for other violations. During one of the arrests that our officers made for the municipal code violation, the officer asked the violator if he had ever been given one of the handouts before. The answer from this particular violator was, and I quote, "Yes, many times." And so you can see from that that these are individuals that we are coming into contact with repeatedly, and in this particular instance, before he was cited under the municipal code, he had been warned a number of times. And so we're not simply finding somebody asleep in a car, as was a concern not only of council's but of ours, that we not be heavy-handed with this enforcement. You'll see in this that our enforcement, I think, has been appropriate. I'm very proud of our guys for doing what we've asked them to do in issuing these warnings. Most often, as I indicated before, we find that these violators have been denied service at ECHO for a violation of their rules. ECHO does suspend people from utilizing their services. That was one of the things that council was concerned about as we looked at the provisions of making ECHO our shelter system, our permanent shelter system location. And so they are following their guidelines, their own guidelines. They are making sure that if you commit one of the offenses on their list of rules, that they're banning you either for a short period of time, or in some of these cases, we have people who have been banned from the shelter for a year because of illegal activity taking place on the property, or simply an unwillingness to abide by the rules set forward by the shelter. One of the subjects that we arrested for the municipal code section, the misdemeanor section, had multiple prior felony arrests, very well known to our department, many of them for narcotics violations. Another of the individuals, as we looked at his prior history, he'd been contacted by our department previously for aggressive solicitation, trespassing, violations of court order. Disorderly location had been vacated or was no longer being used. In those cases, we most often simply call for the assistance of Public Works. They do a great job of coming out, cleaning up those areas. In other cases, we might find that we contact the individual. What was thought to be camping didn't actually fall under one of the provisions of the law, and so no enforcement was taken. And so you're going to see those in one of the next map slides represented with some dots And those are the 57 calls where just no enforcement was taken. As I've already indicated, we had nine instances where we used the Atascadero Municipal Code and conducted enforcement there. And then we had a total of 39 subjects during the same six-month period that were either issued citations and or booked at county jail for a violation of that section 647E, which is lodging without consent. A great many of those occurred at the former City Hall location. It's the most appropriate section to use when somebody's trespassing on that location. And so we find that while our Muni Code is being used, it's not being used exclusively, and it does fit the exact niche that we had come to council and looked to your guidance in getting this passed for. It exactly fits what we wanted it to do. We have had, to my knowledge, no more complaints, for instance, with that green belt where we're having a large number of people camp out because they immediately became aware that that was not a location they could camp. So where are they occurring? We've talked about who is committing these offenses. We've talked about how many offenses. And so we wanted to give you just a snapshot of where these offenses were occurring. You'll see three different types of dots here. They start to overlap each other, and they're a little harder to see. So we'll zoom in the next slide and the one following. The green dots are those calls for service we talked about, 57, where somebody called in camping violations and no enforcement action was taken. And you can see that they are pretty well spread throughout the community, throughout the city, a great majority of them being in the downtown area. The red, as denoted here, are calls for service in which we took enforcement action with a Muni Code. And yes, there are a red dot or two buried under the large number of dots that are in the downtown area. And then the blue dots are going to be representative of those times when we use that other lodging without consent section, the penal code section. As we draw in closer, again, you can see a couple of hidden red dots starting to emerge. The opportunity to mention that city staff has done a great job of once we identified that was a prime location that people had started flocking to, we immediately had Public Works print up some trespassing signs and do some things that we could, geographically prevent people from camping in that area already. And we're doing a great job of patrolling that area to kind of keep that from becoming a problem. In my last report, it has been that we've been pretty successful and we're not having as many problems there as we were for a period of time. And here's the final slide. One of the concerns of council as we went forward with the Echo shelter system was, are we going to have more problems in that immediate area once the shelter goes into place? I don't think that we've seen an increase specifically in that area for illegal camping. If anything, I would venture to say that we may have had a decrease, although I didn't really go through that process of investigating those calls 6 months prior to Echo being established as the permanent residence of the shelter. But you can see that there really does not seem to be an immediate nexus to Echo. The creek bed is where the nexus is and has been. The dead end of Santa Ynez, Navajo had been a kind of a hot spot already. The enforcement has continued in that area, much as it has in the past. We have been very successful, I think, in eliminating that section directly adjacent to the dead end of Navajoa, where so many people were camping. And so, again, I count that as a success for both the city and for our department. And then you'll see on the map, kind of directly behind the former City Hall in the area of Lewis Avenue, at the bridge overcrossing, that does seem to be the highest concentration in the city of where we were having people violating our camping laws, where we took the highest number of enforcement actions, both with the Muni Code and with our penal code. And with that, we'd like to open it up for council questions. Before I move on to just a real brief overview of the smoking ordinance, see if there are any questions for us about what enforcement action we're taking or what we should be taking from your perspective.
Thank you. Councilman Moreno.
Thank you, Chief. Very thorough report, and it looks like we are making a lot of progress, so thank you to you and the department. I would like A couple of questions. First of all, clarification. Did you say that the penal code section is used when on...
Able to go on that property and not assume that you would be arrested for a trespass violation. The former library building, the former city hall building, those are both buildings that are clearly not open to the general public and fall into this kind of a gray area. We've worked with the district attorney to try and identify what is the appropriate section. Is trespassing appropriate? Is lodging without consent appropriate? And the district attorney has given us their best recommendation that the lodging without consent seems to fall into the best fit for those types of instances where you have, whether it be a vacant building or a building that is still currently used and being occupied. Clearly, no one there gave permission for somebody to sleep there, you know, camp out overnight there, or take up residency at that location. And so it does seem to be the most applicable.
Okay. And then you said the DA follows up with that?
Yes, the DA is responsible for prosecution of penal code violations, and so they handle all our prosecutions in those instances. The municipal code is typically handled by our city attorney, and we work with him very closely in some of those matters where we've cited somebody not only for this municipal code but for others.
Okay. So the individuals who you said, you know, are known by the department are continual violators, and have the individual you mentioned who said he's received that several times, or he, she, a twofold question. One, if mental illness is suspected or that somebody would need help, is there a way to get an individual like that into help? And if that isn't the issue, if it's just simply someone that refuses to participate, that is living their lifestyle by choice, and they've chosen to not take those services, is there any recourse if they just keep violating, if they're some of the ones that are just out there perpetually, that maybe that also can be what the public notices? Is there any recourse that the city has with those types of individuals?
Yes, one of the other subjects that I mentioned does fall into that category, the mental health concerns. There is no way for the police department to force somebody to take the assistance of mental health in the county, unless they are a grave danger to themselves or others. Very few people actually fall into that category. A suicide attempt would be somebody who falls into that category. Cases will put the subject on probation as opposed to simply throwing the book at them, throwing them in jail. And through the probation system, they can force them to go get the help that they need, require regular routine checks with mental health, county mental health, require the individual to take medications, for instance, that they're needing to take in order to stay kind of cognitive and be able to get through life without breaking some of these laws. We in law enforcement are appreciative of that because our tool belt is a little bit limited. We simply don't have the resources needed to be able to force someone to get help. Now, we do work with many agencies throughout the county. I sit on the Board of Transitions Mental Health myself, and we work with them to kind of reach out to our homeless subjects within the county to get them the help that they need before they come into contact with law enforcement. And I know that TEMA, for instance, has a team that goes out, TEMA being Transitions, has a team that goes out and contacts these individuals on a regular basis, tries to get them into services, helps to identify what services are out there for them so that they don't come into contact with law enforcement. We've had some great successes. And then, as you say, there are some individuals who continue to come to the attention of law enforcement even through all of this. Our best recourse in those case or those cases is to rearrest the individual for a violation of their probation, a term that the court has established, and in some cases send them back into the court system to make sure that the judge understands that something more is needed in those cases. And with the individual I described to you previously, one of the things that additionally has been done to keep them from continuing to commit the same crimes over and over is the judge has issued stay-away orders, for instance, from local businesses where the crime was committed repeatedly. This individual is no longer allowed within 50 feet of the property. And so there are additional remedies that we use through the court system to deal with those individuals that are repeat offenders.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly, then Councilwoman Fonzie.
Oh, thank you. This is a very difficult situation that society has to deal with, the homeless. And I sit on some homeless committees representing the city. And I always try to emphasize that there's different categories of people who are homeless. And I want to commend the chief for his leadership with our department to be very compassionate for the people who are truly homeless, not because they want to be, but because of hard luck. In the little handout that you initially made, I was able to present that at one of the committee meetings I'm at. And I believe the additional one actually came
from Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you. It's my impression, and based on the number of calls that I receive from citizens, that the homeless issue is tamping down a bit in terms of camping and aggressive solicitation. Is that your impression as well?
That's difficult to say. I think we saw a dramatic increase through 2013. And so it's hard to go back to like 2012 and see, are we coming back down to those levels or not? You know, those numbers are sometimes hard to come by. I would say, generally speaking, we have seen a reduction through our efforts over the course of the last 6 months specifically. We have seen a reduction in the number of types of incidents we're getting where our citizens are extremely concerned, like you have to do something about this now. Mm-hmm. However, at the same time, I would tell you that we are still getting regular and routine calls. One of the things that our department has done in the last 3 months, for instance, is to identify a couple of hotspots and put single individual officers in charge of dealing with that specific area. One of the locations where we kind of had some relocation, if you will, is to a bus stop downtown, where all of a sudden individuals who had previously been camping in other places now began to kind of congregate and gather at that bus stop. And so we dedicated a single officer to be kind of that point of contact with the transit system, with the other officers who would be engaging in enforcement, with the business owners in the area, and made him, as a single point of contact that people could go to, responsible for making sure that that problem went away. I think that, as much as anything, has led to a reduction in the number of those instances that we're seeing. It's consistency. You can't simply go address a problem one day, forget about it the next, and think that it's going to be gone. It'll immediately come back. And so having that kind of single point of contact consistency, I do believe, has shown a significant reduction in the last 3 months of the number and types of calls that we were responding to, where our citizens before were previously just telling us, hey, you've got to do something. This is an exigency.
I think that you're onto something with the consistency, that usually is the way to deal with problems. I know that there's two problem areas that I had been familiar with prior to this, and one was the old Wendy's that's over by the 7-Eleven. Has that one been kind of cleaned up? And the other would be the old printery building that the fence is knocked out, there's boards that are missing from the windows, and we've seen people going in and out.
I have not heard very much at all from the old Wendy's building. The city undertook a pretty large and expensive task of kind of boarding up that facility over the course of about a year ago, and I think secured it to the point where we haven't had the kind of problems that we had experienced in the past with camping. It is not one of our hot spots. In the last 6 months, we do not have a single call that I was able to find of trespassing at that location.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are back to Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think some time ago we discussed about the citizens getting involved and sometimes being reluctant to call in. And I think at that point you made a statement that you would encourage the people to call in. Would you like to make a further comment or plea or request, whatever?
I always encourage people to call in. It is my repeated plea. Time and time again, I actually repeated that at Kiwanis just a couple of weeks ago. What we say is, please, please, please call us. What we don't know is going on are the things that we can't do anything about. And so we encourage an active citizenry. People who say, this is our community, we're not going to let illegal activity go unchecked here, make for a crime-free community, not the police department. There are 28 of us. There are 28,000 of our citizens, our residents here in Atascadero. You outnumber us. You are the ones responsible primarily for making sure that this is a safe, clean environment for everyone in Atascadero. Now, we are your arm. We are the enforcement arm for you. And so we don't expect you to take enforcement yourself. As a matter of fact, I encourage our citizens not to do that. Use us. Call us. Let us do the job that you pay us to do by coming out, taking appropriate enforcement, making sure that those instances where you feel unsafe in the parking lot at the store don't happen again. Make us aware of it so that we can do something about it. We do a good job of that, but we have to know about it. And so thank you, Councilman Kelly, for reminding me to make that plea once again.
Well, I'd like to comment that you really do a good job, because I was down in one of the parking lots and observed a kind of an aggressive solicitor there, and I did call it in, and I just kind of stood off to the side to see what would happen. And our police chief showed up in 1 minute and 35 seconds, and in about 20 seconds later, there were two other cars there. So we are aggressive in taking care of those calls, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, Gerald, in your interactions with other police chiefs in other cities?
Over the course of about the last 12 months in his tenure there as the chief of police. One of the things that is most concerning to him and to us is that at least 50% of the people that we're coming into contact with are not local residents who happen to find themselves out of, you know, out of work or out of luck and just out on the street. We are getting transplants from all over the country coming to California and taking up residency here as transients. And I would use that word more describe it as homeless by choice. These, again, are individuals who are refusing to use our shelter system or who have been kicked out because they're unwilling to follow rules and structures that are in place at our shelter system. Oftentimes, these are people who either don't want the help or are refusing the help that is offered to them. And so what is causing this great influx of people to come into our community who then become those individuals we're coming in contact with for illegal camping? That's one of the chief concerns and one of the things that they're looking at in San Luis Obispo. And it sounds as though what they've come to the conclusion of is the enabling behavior of those individuals who mean very well, but by their actions are having a negative impact and a negative effect. In other words, giving somebody something for free because you care about them and you want them to do better is great in theory, but if by doing so you create a hardship on the community, then it becomes a problem for all of our residents. One example pretty frequently used is an individual who was panhandling in San Luis Obispo. He would make anywhere from $50 to $100 a day, cash money, panhandling, enough to live fairly well. And yet all of that money went to either drugs or alcohol. In his particular case, it was mostly alcohol. And his behaviors, the alcohol behaviors, resulted in multiple transportations through ambulance or by ambulance to the local hospitals. The bill for that to the residents of that community, because he's not paying that bill, was in excess of $250,000 in 1 year. And so people who seek to do well by giving people direct donations can sometimes lend to the problem that we're having in our community. Good intentions are great, but we want them done in the right way. San Luis Obispo has, the services are provided through local nonprofits there in San Luis Obispo. Here in our community, what I've asked people to do repeatedly is to be generous. That is one of the very natures of our community that I've come to love since being here, is the generosity of our community. But in your generosity, also be smart. Give to Loaves and Fishes. Give to the Salvation Army. Give to ECHO. Give to other charitable organizations who work with people who find themselves disadvantaged. Because you know when you do that, that the money will go where it should go. And it will go for the right reason and the right purpose. It won't go to drugs. It won't go to alcohol. It won't go to support a lifestyle that is detrimental to our entire community. And so please, be generous, but do it in the right way.
Thank you. And also, I wanted to thank you. A while back, there was something that happened to me that I never told. I remember talking to you about it, and I remember you telling me I should have called, and you know, you were right, and that's stuck with me. So I tell my daughters the same thing. I say, if it feels wrong and there's an issue or situation, don't be afraid, pick up the phone, call the police. So I really appreciate that awareness and you raising it with me, and then I can raise it with my family and also raising it with our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other council questions, I think you're not actually done with your report yet. Would you like to conclude?
The next part will be much shorter, I promise you. We did want to report back to you because at the same time we passed the camping ordinance, we had a revision to the existing smoking ordinance. Specifically, we asked council to extend the area of the smoking prohibition for Sunken Gardens to an additional 100 feet all around the perimeter of Sunken Gardens. And we did want to report back to you just briefly on kind of what our enforcement had been and whether that was having, there was some discussion at the time whether that would be enough area or too much area and whether it would work or not. And so we wanted to be responsive to council and make sure that you kind of had an idea of what the enforcement had been. Again, the enforcement was added in December of 2013. We have since that time had 15 total calls for service in the area of Sunken Gardens directly related to smoking or the enforcement of the smoking ban. I'll tell you, it is a significant reduction in the overall number of calls for service that we were getting. The groups that were kind of standing there, loitering, blocking the sidewalk, creating a nuisance and a hazard for local businesses and people who were using the downtown area have pretty much dissipated. We don't have anywhere near the number of calls, three or four calls for service that were what we would call displacement, people going down the street to smoke through some kind of increased awareness with them and intervention with them. It has not continued to be a problem that I've seen. It is something we're continuing to monitor and we'll kind of continue to keep an eye on. For the most part, though, the group that was kind of hanging out, smoking, they've kind of gone somewhere else. And we have seen some replacement of those individuals with other subjects. The park is still heavily used. Matter of fact, we've maybe seen more people using the park than we did several months ago when this ordinance was passed. And as far as that goes, I would say that's a success. Every time I look out that third-story window and see families running around there playing ball in the park, I think we've done a really good thing. We did issue one citation. I happened to be present. Oddly enough, this was during a time when we were having a walk event at the park to fight cancer, and there was cancer awareness issues associated with that. And somebody decided he would smoke during that event, and we gave that individual a warning, and then he walked directly across the street and lit up again. So he got a ticket. I don't feel bad for him. Other than that, I think this boundary that we created with 100 feet has been a success, and it is showing to have the desired effect for the police department. We'll still continue to monitor, keep an eye on it, but I'd just like to report that I think it's going well for council. And I'd be happy to take any questions that you have with regard to that as well.
Thank you. Council questions? Seeing none, I will give an opportunity to open up to the public. It's not an action item, but if anyone would like to make a comment or ask a question, we'd entertain that. Seeing no one jogging to the lectern, we'll close that portion, bring it back to council. And I believe no action is required, but we do thank you for your work. It does seem like you've approached it with the attitude the council wanted, and by your nature, you just do a good job with that anyway. And I think it is good progress, so thank you. We're down to council announcements and reports. I don't know that we have a lot. I usually like to try to keep it in the order that they are, but I'm too tired. So yeah, basically, we're just going to start with my left, go to my right. Anything you have that's an announcement, a report, or a committee report, or just anything you want to say, feel free. Councilman Kelly.
Well, we had a DRC meeting, and I think that was really, really productive. The representatives from the developers submitting plans for a new car wash in, 37 housing units. And a little bit of mixed use with some business opportunities on the bottoms, and you can live on the top. So we'll be going forward with that. We have an individual on the north end of town that is trying to put together a very, very small limited event center. So that'll be coming to the Planning Commission and I think the City Council. So we're going forward. We have a lot of people interested in town, and I think it's really a pleasure to work on the Design Review Committee in a very informal atmosphere where these people can come in and we actually really work with them. And almost everybody goes away happy, and I think it speeds up the process. So that was a good week for the DRC.
Thank you.
Well, I have no committee reports, but I do have a announcement with the wine festival. I just wanted to say what an awesome time. It was the wine, the people, the weather, it was absolutely perfect. And I had so many people that gave a shout-out to the city for the bark that was put down by the ADA path. I cannot tell you how many people said, this looks wonderful. There was dirt and there was orange fencing, but now it's just, you know, look great and in time for the event. And I had many, many people thank the city for that. So I just wanted to say thank you. I wanted to pass that along. And just it helped make the event even that much more better. Just the ADA path is beautiful. The park is beautiful. Weather, wine. It was great community time, great time. Thank you.
You know, if I could comment on that, on the park, on the walkways, I had numerous people at the 4th of July said how pretty that is. And they wish that they would keep the bark in there because it gave it more of like a forest atmosphere in there. And when I first saw it, I hadn't been to the park for a while. I thought it was absolutely beautiful, so it might give us an opportunity to save some money on putting grass in, saving money on water, and maybe even getting a rebate from the water company for not putting the grass in.
Very good. Councilwoman Fonzie.
No committee report tonight. I did go on the radio today for Tom. He had other issues going on, as we all know. And one of the questions that came up was regarding Camp Roberts and Camp San Luis Obispo becoming an area for the illegal refugees that are being put in various places throughout the United States. I know we've heard it on the news with Murrieta down in Southern California. I know they're placing them at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, which is a military base. So I was wondering if Rochelle could perhaps ask her other city managers if this is a topic that...
What was interesting in talking to individuals that had performed security last year and this year, they say no issues. So you've got a wine festival where traditionally you think, oh, people are drinking wine, you're going to have rowdy and problems and things like that, and there are no problems, which is really nice. We had the mayors and winemakers dinner a week and change ago, and it went to benefit the new special needs park, raised over $30,000. So just want to thank Albert Almodova and Kiwanis for doing a great job putting that together in partnership with the city. I know that city staff put a lot of effort into that, and it's something that we all really are excited to get going. Doug Filipponi was the auctioneer, raised a lot of money, so just a good time all around, and to all the wineries that joined us, putting in their time and their wares, and we all really appreciated that. Lastly, I've been doing some volunteer monitoring at Echo and found out that they are doing the Long Walk Home, so it is a fun walk, 2014. It is only a mile. They are not having a competition. So for those of you that don't like to compete and run and do all that, it will be a welcome time to just walk about a mile, kind of downtown area. For those of you that like to compete, just consider it a vacation and come and join us. You can do it individually or in teams. The cost is $30. Ideally, you'll raise more money than that. And the team that raises the most money for up to seven-person team wins dinner at the Guesthouse Grill. The individual walker who raises the most money wins an iPad. So that is August 23rd, 9:30 to 11 o'clock.
Well, thank you. You brought up the Mayor's Winemaker Dinner, and when I got that started years ago, we always put the apostrophe after the S because we always encourage really our whole council, but all former mayors to come forward. And I kind of got started because when I first got on city council, I always had these ideas of things I wanted to do, and our previous city manager, Wade McKinney, says, yeah, but you guys don't have any money. And so there was a concern at the time with the pavilion really needed some repairs, so we did the very first, which is really more just a mayor's fundraiser dinner, which Marge Mackey wanted to make sure I wasn't doing a campaign fundraiser, but no, it was actually to raise money for the pavilion, and that was very successful. We kind of took a reprieve for a while because we had a different council for a while and less interest in such things, but then we kind of got started back up partnering with Kiwanis when we wanted to raise some money for the bandstand, and that was very successful. Of course, we're really appreciative of that we could be involved with that project, and with Gerald, who's really kind of been our liaison with this group of wonderful families, really. And you know, I think that's just a great thing. I appreciate all of you that could participate. There we are with the picture of the playground behind us that we hope will be coming on board. And again, I just wanted to, though I'm not going to give a report on any of the things I'm doing, because I'm actually not doing as much this week. This is the best council I've ever been on. Everyone here puts a lot of time into the community. We all did before we were on council. On council, everyone is very active in things that they do. And I just want to recognize that and thank them for all their hard work, especially this week when we've had a number of family tragedies and various things. You know, as you many know, my wife Peggy has had a couple of little accidents, still going to require some surgery, and we'll be going in tomorrow on that. And of course, her father passing away this week. And you know, Glenn Layton was someone really known in this community. He was he actually started the first tree trimming business in town. It's where Chuck Scoville and a lot of our local learned the trade and was active in doing things like putting the star on the roof of City Hall. Was one of the first that was doing the lights in the trees here because he had the first High Ranger in that day. So I know many folks appreciated Glenn in our community, but I appreciate the council. It's really covered for me in a lot of activities this week, taking KPRL for me today, covering for SLOCOG tomorrow. That's a lot of work. Covering the mayor's lunch meeting we have this Friday. So just thank you all for doing what you do. And I'd really hope to had been down at the 4th of July. But Bob, you know, as usual, you and Jerry had that well under control. I'll try to get out and eat a pie next year. But anyway, thank you all for your work.
We will take that challenge.
Yeah. Well, I won't repeat this. I remember the last time I did that, and Jerry gave me a frozen pie. So
well,
I'm not falling for that one again.
We look forward. You put a heck of a show on.
Well, thank you. Any staff comments? Yes.
I do have one. I was just going to remind you that tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, I'll be hosting my, every 2 years, biannual, mm-hmm. I guess is the right word, before the election season starts, the nuts and bolts of running for office.
This is nuts and bolts. You're not implying that we're nuts to do
no.
this, are you? Okay.
Yeah, maybe me, but not you guys.
Okay. Yes. And that is a very good overview and training. I've gone to that many times before, and I'd encourage folks in the community to come out for that just to understand what is involved. And we often talk about transparency. Folks are usually very surprised at the requirements on elected officials. If I just named off the reports we have to do, Form 460s, every campaign contribution, Form 700s, every asset you own, we basically live in a fishbowl. You may not always look at the fishbowl, but you can on our website because all of our information is published there and available. And it's good, I think, for the community to realize how much accountability there is, more so at a local level than really at any other level, because when the state and federal government passes laws, they don't apply to the folks at that level. They apply to the lowest level of government, the folks that have the lowest salaries compared to congressmen. So I don't know how that is, but I welcome it and I appreciate it. I think it shows our community that we're very accountable, at least. And so it's a good training for folks. Thank you. Any other? Then with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.